Seem odd to you that we would be you would be sitting down at this point. You know, all churches have their patterns that they follow, and ours is that everybody's standing when I get up to preach, and now you're sitting down there. So let's kind of get back in sync. Would you mind standing for the reading of the Word? All right, thank you so much. Open your Bible, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew, of course, over in the New Testament, the first book in the second part of your Bible there. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is speaking through most of this section of Scripture here. This is Jesus himself, the man who was the God-man. And it is fascinating stuff. I want to begin reading here in verse 1 of chapter 13, and we'll read a parable. Now listen to it, if you will. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now isn't that an interesting logistic Jesus figured out here? He's got this whole crowd of people. Everybody's on the same level, and he's trying to figure out how they could best hear him. And so there on the shore, he sees this ship, and he says, you know, I'll get in the ship, push out a little bit from the shore. It'll make a great pulpit and congregation. So that's what he does. He's there in the ship addressing the people. Now he goes on, says this, and he spake many things unto them in parables. What is a parable? A parable, I guess the simplest explanation that I've ever heard is that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It has a heavenly application to it, a heavenly message to it. And Jesus used them a lot because parables do something to us. They make us curious as to what the meaning is. You hear the words in it and you think, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, let's let this make us curious for just a moment as I begin reading again here in verse 3. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower, that's a farmer, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls, that's the birds, came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now you'll see that phrase real often in Scripture. Anybody who has ears to hear, let them hear. He's not just talking about hearing with your ears, but really taking in what's being said here. He says you really listen and you'll learn something that will not only help your mind, but it'll also help the real you deep down inside. Now, parables make us curious. We want to know, okay, what here is the seed? What does that represent? What about this sower? Who is this sower in the story? What is the wayside? What is the stony places and the thorny ground and the good ground? What does all that mean? Well, Jesus gives that there so that you'll ask those questions, but also I want to make it further interesting by telling you that you are in this story. You say, I didn't read my name. Well, you are in this story because of your response. Now, with that having been said, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to teach us. Father, again we come to You, and we thank You so much that Jesus, Your Son, was such a great teacher, that Your Spirit is such a great teacher. Father, we pray now that we might listen as You, Your Spirit, and Jesus teach us. It's in His name that we pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach a message today on how will I respond? How will I respond? How will you respond? You know, it's all in the response, right? In how you respond in any given situation. For example, young men hang around with young men a lot of times, and we learn young men ways of response. Notice I said we when I was talking about young men. We men learn certain ways to respond. Like if I'm with Brother Ricky here and we're out messing around and Ricky knocks his knee against the bumper or the trailer hitch on the car, I say, Ricky, would you take it easy on my trailer hitch? I mean, don't, you know, that's just man talk. If a guy gets hurt, you make fun of him. That's just what we men do. However, I found out that doesn't work nearly as well at home. When Bonnie walks by and cracks her knee on the coffee table, if I say, honey, take it easy on the furniture, somehow it's just not the same thing. It's not quite as happy a result when I do that. Women have no sense of humor. You men have probably noticed that about these things. But it's all in the response. How do you respond in a given situation? Sometimes you don't know what to respond. I've talked about my dad a lot and how he's in advanced Alzheimer's, or not Alzheimer's, dementia now. And he's gotten to the point where he makes up words, and you don't know what the words mean. And so I was standing at the sink the other day. We were batching up there at that's bacheloring, okay? We were batching, my dad and I were. And so we were trying to clean up a little bit after we had eaten, and I had a glass, and I was putting it in the sink. And I said, something about, Dad, what should I do with this or whatever? And he said, blush it. What exactly is blushing it? I didn't really know what to say, and so I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly what I'll get over here, and I'll blush this thing right now. You may think I'm making fun of my dad. No, it's a wonderful thing in Christian families when people have been saved for a long time that you have the freedom to laugh at each other and talk to each other and just enjoy each other. It's not walking around on eggshells all the time worried that you might say the wrong thing. And even now, it's that way. Christian families love each other, and they relax around each other. They're not sensitive, or at least they shouldn't be, right? Not sensitive. It's all in the response, how you respond in a given situation. Now, here we've got this parable, and it is a parable of responses. Here this sower goes out, and he sows the seed. And in each case, the ground that receives the seed is actually responding to that seed. It is actually receiving the seed and making some response. Now, this parable is unique in one sense because Jesus not only told the parable and gave it and made them curious, but the disciples came to him and said, you know, why are you always speaking in parables when you're teaching all these multitudes? And Jesus said, well, it's because to you disciples is given the privilege of understanding the mysteries about me. But he said, to these other people, it's not given. You'll see that down in, what is it, verse 11? He said, it's not given to them. What was happening here was that Jesus was anticipating the time that you are living in right now. It's called the church age. And he said, I am preparing you disciples to be the leaders during the church age. He said, I'm going to tell you how people are going to respond during the church age when the Word of God is given. He said, there are going to be four different responses, and he explains what those responses are a little bit later on, beginning over in where is it? Verse 18. So look in verse 18, and here's Jesus' explanation of what this parable means. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, that's Satan, and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth or endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns, that's the third response, he that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. Okay, now, we've got this parable. We've got Jesus' explanation of it. So let's talk about it for just a moment. What does it mean? Well, the key part of the interpretation of this parable is what is the seed? And Scripture, we don't have to read very long before we find out what the seed is. It says in verse 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." So the seed is the Word of God. So what we're talking about here is how each one of us receives the Word of God when we hear it given. Who's the sower? Well, the sower is someone like myself who stands here and opens the Word of God and gives it to you. I'm sowing it out in this auditorium. Or it's a Bible teacher or a person who's witnessing to someone about Christ, telling them about Christ. The sower is someone who spreads the Word of God out in a wide area. So we're sowers here today. And the Bible says that there is always a response when the Word of God is sown. And here in this parable, we're given four different responses that people give when they hear the Word of God. The first one of those responses, is the response of the roadside. Now, think about it for just a moment. This was written in an ancient agricultural culture. And in those days, they would take a bag and they would reach into the bag that contained the seed and they would throw the seed out in a wide sweep like that. And they would throw the seed out and some of the seed would go where they wanted it to go. Some of it really wouldn't go where they wanted it to go. And some of it would fall over on the side of the road. Now, in those days, you had to get to the field, and so they would have roads that led out to the field, and some of that broadcast seed would fall by the roadside. Well, the roadside hadn't been plowed. It hadn't been prepared at all, and therefore, when the seed hit the roadside, it hit hard ground. It hit unfertilized ground. It hit untilled ground, and it just laid there. And so the first thing the Lord tells us is that sometimes when the seed is broadcast, it falls on ground that's not ready to receive it. And the Bible says that when that happens, that person does not understand the Word of God. I have preached many times and preached the Word and watched it go over very smart people's head. It's not that they were not smart enough to understand it. That had nothing to do with it. It's just that they were at that point not ready to receive it for one reason or another. There's no value judgment given here. It's just that they are not ready to receive it. Now, possibly there is someone here today who fits into this situation. Maybe there have been times in the past when you've heard the word about Jesus himself. And yet at that time you were just maybe involved in other things. Your mind was elsewhere. And so you didn't really get it. It didn't make that much sense to you. And so you just blew it off and went your way. But now you're back here again. You're hearing it again. There's a reason for that. When a person does not understand the Word of God and when it doesn't sink into them, typically God will give them another chance. And so here in this situation, here is someone represented upon whom the seed fell, and yet they were not ready to receive it, and they did not receive it. Now, that is no reflection on the seed. Because that seed is good. We have the best seed in the world that we broadcast every day, every time we preach. It is wonderful seed. It is seed that has changed so many lives. It is the story of the God-man, Jesus Christ, who came to solve the greatest problem that men and women have, and that is the sin problem that we have. Someone might say, well, I don't have a sin problem. And my answer to that is, oh, come now. Come now. Examine yourself over the last week or so. Was it easier for you to keep calm or get angry? When someone cuts you off in traffic, was your first response to say, well, God bless you. You deserve that place on the pavement far more than did I. And so, God bless you. When that person said that thing, my sister and I were in a discussion this week. And it's interesting, isn't it, how even in families you have these tense moments. And we were in this discussion. And I said, well, I've always been, it didn't exactly happen like this, but something like this. I've always been kind of the more cautious of the two between my sister and myself. You know, good relationships usually have someone who is the accelerator and someone who's the brake. Well, I've always been the brake in our relationship. She's always been the let's do it, and I said, let's think about it. And so I've always been like that. So anyway, my sister coined a better term for that this week. She called it a foot dragger. She said, you are the foot dragger. And it's a moment, isn't it? How do you respond in those? Let me tell you something. The response is everything at that moment. Because you know what? I am the foot dragger. That is really true. And so you just kind of accept your role in things. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Or you can react and pop off and tell her, you are the thoughtless one. You are the one. You are the one who's just ready to go, go, go all the time. Whether it makes sense or not, you are the one. So it's all in the response, isn't it? So anyway, here you've got this situation where this person does not understand. But isn't it interesting that if you're here today and there's that point where you heard the story of Jesus and yet somehow it just didn't click with you, it didn't work for you at the moment, and you blew it off, isn't it odd that you're back today? You're listening again today to some leather-lung preacher like myself telling the same story again? Isn't that interesting? Could that mean that there is actually something to it? That maybe this thing about Jesus and Jesus changing people and saving people and about sin and forgiveness, that all that is very real? Can I ask you to do something? Can I challenge you to do something? If you've heard all this before and yet it's never really clicked with you, wouldn't you want to know if it were true? If there was a heaven, if there was a hell, if there was a Son of God who came and died for your sins, like the Bible says, if that were all true, wouldn't you want to know? Why not look up right now and say, okay, God, I'm here again. I'm hearing this again. God, if you're really up there, God, would you reveal yourself to me? Would you open my understanding and let me see this? You know what will happen if you'll do that? God will do His part. You will begin to understand. Things will begin to click with you. God will begin to talk with you because God is in the wonderful tilling of the ground business. And you've always just kind of not been open to that. God will open up your heart, and it's amazing how the change that will come into your life. Now, anytime you don't do that, anytime you blow it off again, a strange thing happens. Scripture talks about it. It says, the fowls of the air come along and devour the seed. That's why you'll hear people say, yeah, I heard that a long time ago about Jesus, but, you know, it just didn't work for me, and really haven't thought that much about it since. You hear that? Haven't thought that much about it. What happened? The wicked one came along, that's Jesus' interpretation, and stole the seed away out of that person's heart, out of their life, and they just didn't think about it anymore. It happens exactly like what's... In fact, it's amazingly predictable. Years ago, when I was about 13 years old, I went to a Congregational Methodist camp down, I think it was in Barnesville, Georgia, so long ago I can't even remember. But I was down there, and it was a wonderful group of Bible-believing people who were there, not our denomination, but another one. And they were one night we were in this open-air tabernacle. You know what I mean when I say an open-air tabernacle? You've got a roof on the thing. The Methodists did this a lot years ago. You had a roof on the thing, but no sides on the building. It was just open air. It was made for use in good weather. And so we were in that open air tabernacle, and the preacher was preaching. He's doing a great job of explaining about Jesus and how a person could be saved. And when suddenly, one of the strangest things that I've ever seen happened. We were sitting there, I was about 13 years old, and a bat got in that tabernacle. Yes, I said a bat got in that tabernacle, and he was flying around the tabernacle. He would dive at the preacher. He lost his train of thought. He'd dive at the preacher, and then he would sweep around the... I think the bat was trapped. The tabernacle was lighted, and he got in there, and he just kind of couldn't figure the thing out, rather confused by the situation. May have been two bats. It was, and this was over 50 years ago, right? So anyway, and the bat swept around in there. Now, guess what? After that was over, the service was over. When that guy, when that bat finally got out of there, it was all over. I've wondered, you say, well, Satan really got the victory in that situation. Yeah, you could say that. Because I suspect that most of the people that left there, the thing that they remembered was what? The bat, of course. And you could say, well, Satan won that round. Maybe. But I wonder, thinking about this parable, if there were not key people in that auditorium who weren't understanding. And so the Lord allowed that bat to come in and steal the seed. And I wonder if that might have been what happened. I don't know, but I just saw the seed stolen. There was no movement for Christ. No one trusted Christ. Though that guy had been doing a great job of sowing and spreading the word, it just didn't happen. All right. There's a second response here. The second response is the seed that fell under the stony ground. Now, Scripture says that some fell, verse 5, upon stony places which had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Now, when Jesus is explaining this up in verse 20, he says, "He that received the seed unto stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and get this, anon with joy received it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Now, I came to this church this morning hoping that God would allow me to help someone. Help someone to understand where he or she really is with God. So I have a question to ask. I'm going to ask it generally to the whole congregation and let you think about it. Was there a time in your life when you heard the Word of God and responded to it, you were excited about it? Maybe you believed at that time that you were saved, but it didn't last very long. Something happened that was bad, tribulation, difficulty, persecution, or something didn't happen that you expected to happen, and it caused you to fall away from your Christian walk with God, or fall away from your profession, fall away from whatever happened there. And you say, "Pastor, you described me exactly. That's what happened. There was a time when I got all excited. I heard the word. I got all excited about it. But it just didn't last." You say, "Pastor, what happened? Was I saved or was I not saved?" Well, that's a very good question. It's a question that deserves some examination, deserves some inquiry so that you can find out. See, it's possible for a true believer to become discouraged and fall away from his profession of faith. and yet be a true believer. That has happened many times. You've seen it happen in your family probably. You've seen it happen maybe in yourself. You were a truly saved person and you fell away. That is very possible. However, notice what the Scripture says here. It says, He hath not root in Himself. Look at verse 21. Yet hath He not root in Himself. No root. See, in order to understand this, you've got to understand how seeds actually work. You see, when a seed sprouts, it sprouts, and for a while it lives on the nutrients that are inside the seed itself. When it actually pops up, and you see that first little greenery there, it's not rooted in the ground yet. It's living on the seed itself. At the same time, it's sending a root down because the plan is for it to begin to tie into the nutrients that are in the ground and begin to draw on those nutrients and become one almost with the ground. But when it first starts, when you see that first sign of life there, it's living on the seed itself. The seed has life in itself. Likewise, the seed of the Word of God has life in itself. And I'm convinced from this parable that it's possible for a person to get excited about the things of God because the seed has life. They get excited about the Word of God itself, and yet the seed of the Word never takes root in their life. And then when some difficulty comes along, they are not rooted in God. Their root was never attached to their heart. And so, therefore, they never really trusted Christ. They were never really saved. They just got excited about it. See, it's possible for a person to get excited and not get saved. We get saved when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is, when our heart, the earth of our heart, opens up and receives the seed and says, here, Jesus, take root in me. Hear, Word of God, take root in me. Not in those words, but when we fully receive Him. But this man had no root in himself. The root of the Word of God had never rooted in his life. Now, someone says, wait a minute now. You haven't answered the question. You said it's possible that this person who receives the seed, the stony ground, might be a saved person, or it might be a person who's never had the Word of God take root in their life, never believed fully. Which one is it? The answer is, I don't know. I don't know. You say, well, how do I find out then? You find out, now listen, beloved, by coming back to God. That's the way you find out. See, if you've not been saved, God will save you. If you have been saved, then God will restore you and take you back and clarify that you've been saved. But as long as you're standing out there far off, it's not going to happen. You come back to God. Tell you what you do right now. You say, God, I don't know what happened. I don't know whether when I got excited about God, about you, I don't know whether I got excited. I don't know what happened. But what I need to do is, God, I just ask you. I want to come back to you this morning. I want to bring my heart back to you and ask you if the Word of God has never taken root in my heart. If Jesus is not growing and living in me, then, Lord, I want that to happen. And you come back, just bring an honest heart and let God straighten it all out. And He will straighten it all out. I remember coming back to God, and I remember I was just a little confused. I had been away. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what was going on. But when you come back to God, He clarifies all the questions. He who explains it to you, it becomes abundantly clear, and then you know. And that is a wonderful thing. Now, there's a third option here. The third option is that there are those where the seed falls among thorns. Now, you know that there are four responses in this parable. The first one and the last one are easy to understand. The first response, where it falls by the wayside, represents a guy who doesn't get saved. He's hardened to it. I mean, he doesn't understand it, and he doesn't get saved. The last one is easy to understand. It falls on good ground. That's easy to understand. The problem you run into is the questions that are there in the middle. the two that are there in the middle, the stony ground and that one that falls among thorns. Now look at the one among thorns. Matthew chapter 13, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, if you're wondering what that means, join a large club. Because the Bible teachers all down through the years have disagreed about whether this is talking about saved people or lost people. Some say that this is a saved person who allows the busyness of his life and his desire to make money and get money and have money to make him an unfaithful Christian. Well, we know that that is a very common scenario. You have people who are truly saved, and yet here is this job, and this job keeps making more demands. Family keeps making more demands. Friends keep making more demands. Life keeps making more demands. So they get busier and busier, and then they want to be upwardly mobile, if you will. They want to be successful. They want to have the good things in life. And sooner or later, their walk with God is kind of choked out by that. Yes, that happens. We see it all the time. So, again, it could be a saved person. But the interesting thing here is that it is the word that is choked. It says in verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, that is, choked the seeds. So it's also possible that this is an unsaved person, and the reason they didn't get saved was because their life was so choked and the word was so choked by their desire. They said, I can't get saved now. I've got to do this. I can't get saved now. I've got to do this. I've got to pay the payments on my new car. I've got to have this in my life. I've got to have these clothes. I've got to work hard. I've got to do this, do that. And so the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches keep them from being saved. By the way, what is the deceit of riches? What lie does it tell us, do riches tell us? The lie is that if you get enough, you'll be satisfied. That's the lie. A little more will satisfy me. Someone asked a very rich man how much money it took to be happy. And he said, a little more. A little more. If riches satisfied, why is Donald Trump running for president? If riches satisfied, why is that true? If riches satisfied, why did Steve Forbes run for president years ago? Of course they don't, and never have. And yet the lie is that we ought to sacrifice everything to have success, to make money, and we become so tied up in the cares of life that sometimes it is true that people don't get saved because they say, I can't let go of my career, I can't let go of this, can't let go of that, and give the time that it would take to grow in the Lord and become a Christian. And so they are held up by that, and they never really grow and prosper in the things of God. And sometimes they're never even saved because of that. So both scenarios are very possible. But a person who is a Christian, who is hindered and sidetracked by the cares of this world, they are missing so much. They're losing so much. They're missing the sweet fellowship that they could have with God. They are losing the rewards in heaven that Scripture talks about. They're losing, a lot of times, their family. They are losing the fulfillment and the satisfaction that could be theirs. Oh, they could have so much, but they just don't know it. They don't understand it, and they miss it all. Well, the fourth option is, or the fourth response is the response of the good ground. Verse 8 says, "But other fell on the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold." But he, verse 23 says, "But he that receiveth seed unto good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. I am so thankful that the Lord didn't end this parable with the story of the thorns. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be pleasant? That's like somebody telling you off and leaving, isn't it? Without giving you any kind of response, opportunity. No, no. The Lord, instead of doing that, He ends up with the possibility. You see, it really doesn't matter about those previous responses. If there was a time in your life when you were just kind of hardened to it, you just didn't understand it, weren't interested in it, that doesn't matter. It's your response right now. If there was a time in your life when the seed fell on stony ground, maybe you even responded a little bit, but you just kind of never got beyond the never got beyond just the initial stages of it. That doesn't matter. The question is, what will you do today? Or if there was a time when the cares of this world, when you just didn't have time for it, and the cares of the world choked it out, or a desire to have more stuff, that doesn't matter. What matters is, how will I respond today? The Bible says that if you will respond and say, "Jesus, I want Your Word, I want You to take root here in my life. I want to believe on You with all my heart. I want my sins to be forgiven." If that is what you say today, if that is your response today, then God says you will become fruitful. You will bear fruit in your life. You know, it's an interesting day, as Mike already alluded to. We have young people coming and going to serve God. David is going to preach for us tonight. That's that guy right over there. He's just returned from Cameroon, where he's been living in the jungle and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll be preaching tonight. Now, some would say he left all the good things in the world. But did he? No, no. He went down there and he was living the good life. He didn't have the stuff, but he was going to have the rewards, had the joy, the satisfaction. David told me once that every time when he got back to the jungle there, he said, "Ah, this is the life." Was he right? Of course he was right. "Ah, this is what I like." He said, "I'm always healthy in the jungle. I come home, get sick." Has he gotten sick yet? Isn't that fascinating? He's living the really fulfilled life. I have a good Christian friend who had a bad heart attack. He's my age. And after the heart attack, he looked at me. He said, "You know, if I died right now," he said, "I've had a great life." He's fulfilled. He served God for years and years and years. He said, "If I died right now, I've had a great life." How many people can say that? Why? Why can't they? It's because they've allowed their life to be consumed by the cares of this world. You know, this life will keep you busy. You know it? It's like you're like a rat running around in the no way out of the cage. It would just keep you so busy. Then you go after this and that. I remember buying my first smartphone. I just thought I had to have it. The reason was because everybody else had one, you know. And I remember buying my first smartphone, and I was showing it to somebody, and they said, "Oh yeah, that's that old technology there." Suddenly, I became discontent with my phone. You ever become deceitfulness of riches? You just want more. The next thing, the next most expensive thing. I was talking to someone this past week who had just bought a wonderful new car. It was one of these high horsepower, just really hot young guy. And he said, I got this great car. And he said, I was riding down the road and I saw this other car coming. And I went, he's driving this terrific new car and he sees this other one, and desire, the deceitfulness of riches, pops up. And he thinks, oh, I want that. He's driving the one you want. He's in it. And he sees this other one. Isn't that fun? Isn't that deceitful how riches are? And yet God says, when you serve me, when you live for me, you become fruitful with things that genuinely satisfy. Genuinely satisfy. Where you can say, at the end of your life, I've had a great life. I've been able to help this person, that person, that person, that person. You know who you'll help? You will help those who respond correctly when the Word of God is preached. Recently, Bonnie and I got to talk to this lady. She had had some questions about right relationship with her husband and just had some questions. So she came, sat down with us. And as a counselor of many, many years, I found out, usually you know within the first 10, 15 minutes if you'll be able to help someone or not by their response. If they respond to the Word of God, you can help them. They respond positively. Sometimes you're talking to someone, give them a Bible solution, they say, oh, that won't work. Well, anytime someone says a Bible solution won't work, something's wrong there. But sometimes you've given them the wrong Bible solution. So I go on, I give them to. But if in two or three times they say, oh, no, that won't work, you don't understand, blah, blah, and they just, you can't help them. But this lady gave the first Bible solution, and she said, really, how would I do that? I thought, aha, we're on to something here now. We're going to be able to help this lady. This is going to be great. She's responding to the Word of God. She's saying, God is right, just how do I do it? Oh, boy, that works every time. She's a helpful person. She said, well, how do I learn about that? She said, how could I find something to read about that? Well, the Bible is the first place. But I said, do you know who Wanda Bond is? And she said, thought just a minute, said, yeah, I know who Wanda Bond is. I said, go to Wanda. She's our church librarian. And I said, ask her about a book on this particular subject. And she said, I'll do it. I'll see her Sunday. And there she went. I'll do it. I'll see her Sunday. So anyway, I was so excited about it. Anytime you get somebody who really responds well, so excited about it, I call Wanda. I said, Wanda, I got this lady who's looking for a book on this subject. I could hear Wanda just on the other end of the line getting excited because she's the book lady. You know, she's got a book for everything. And so when a person responds right to the Word of God, you can help that person. Now, this morning, first of all, do you know where you are with God? Do you know for sure that you've been saved? Do you know for sure that you are walking in fellowship with Him right now? What do you know for sure? If you don't know for sure, if you're curious about that, then we'd love to help you. I'd love to put you with someone who could sit down with an open Bible and show you what you need to know to be absolutely certain that you're a saved person. See, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you. He's talking about the Bible. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. So God wants you to know for sure that your sins are forgiven, that you're on your way to heaven. That's His will. He wants you to know for sure that the seed of the Word has taken root in your life, that Jesus is really there in your life, that He's forgiven your sins. God wants you to know all of that. So I want to ask you right now, if you will, to bow your heads just a moment. With your heads bowed, eyes closed, do you? Do you know where you are with God? Do you know for sure that you're a saved person? If you're saved, are you walking with the Lord in good, sweet fellowship with Him? Or are you all tangled up out there in the affairs of the world and just too busy for it all. And what's going on? Was there a time when you got excited about the things of God, but you really don't know what happened? Do you need to just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to get this settled. I need to know where I am with you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, in just a moment, we're going to give what we call the invitation. That means if you need to come to the Lord, kneel down and say, God, I want to come to you. I want some clarity about whether I'm a true believer in Jesus or not. Also, that invitation, I'll be standing right here. If you'd like to have someone pray with you and talk with you, we have many kind people here who'd be happy to do that, who know their Bible and know how to help you. If you're a lady, I'll have a lady talk with you. We can do it up here at the front. We can slip back in the back in a private place. Talk with you there. They'll hang with you as long as you want to hang until you get your questions answered. See, God wants you to know today that you're on your way to heaven, and you can know. God wants you to know that you're walking with Jesus. With your heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I pray that you'd help each person. In Jesus' name.